Praise the Lord. The lamp, like I say, is the word of God. And the oil, hallelujah, is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost grace to understand and to do the word. And the Bible tells me, only the wise shall understand. The angel told Daniel, so in Daniel chapter 12. Praise the Lord. The wise will understand what? They will understand. The only one that will understand the divine agenda. Hallelujah. They are the only ones that will understand God's principle and God's ways. Like the Bible said, Moses knew the ways of God, but Israel saw the acts. All Israel knew was miracle, miracle, sign and wonder, but Moses knew the ways of God. He knew it. Why? Ask Moses. It was what cost him, the privilege of entering the promised land was that he disobeyed God. God said, speak. He went and struck. So Moses will tell you better how to walk with God. For God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. The wise will understand spiritual battles. They will know how to fight spiritual battles. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the one that given the oil is the ability to do what? The ability is the power. Ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. After that, you receive the Holy Ghost. Power to do what? The power that transforms a sinner to a saint is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what that oil is for. The power to preach the gospel. The power to cast out devils. Praise the Lord. This sign shall follow them that believe, because they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The ability to do what? The ability to walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the spirit lusteth against the flesh. And to be carnally minded is enmity with God. But when you have the Holy Ghost, it gives you the ability to resist temptations. Praise the Lord. Gives you the power to avoid the adulterers. He calls them, James chapter 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Adulteration of your spiritual life, adulteration of your Christian life, is the mixture of the world's fashion with your Christian faith. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, something in you is dead. When a police officer was telling me earlier, it's my driver, said his wife, the day the Holy Ghost arrested her in the church here. She just came from the east to join him in Lagos. Come enter the church where his husband, they go. The day the Holy Ghost finished with him for altar here. He said, nobody tell him. He come out, paint, come out, earring, come out everything. The driver was saying, say, ask him, say, you know where this thing is again? Say, where with that village? I tell you, say, come, where the church, where they go? No, they wear this, no, they wear this one, no. You say, because you attend which church where you attend. It doesn't matter, church. Nobody told her to remove it. He said, you don't go wear this again. He said, Who taught her that? She received the Holy Ghost. That is the ability he gives you to live a life of righteousness. The spirit in you will lead you to know how to live your life acceptably before God. When you see a young girl, say she's a Christian, speaking in tongues, and yet you are still painting your face, wearing a ring, wearing those trousers that the Bible clearly is speaking against, It tells me you have received a ghost, but it's not the Holy Ghost. With all the speaking in tongues you are speaking, certainly it's not the Holy Ghost. And all of them that are speaking in tongues in those churches where they are saying they have received the Holy Ghost and they are dressing naked and speaking in tongues, they have received a ghost. Don't say they have not received anything. If they have not received anything, why are they speaking in tongues and falling under anointing? But the ghost they receive by their fruits. You shall know the ghost that is in them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you need the oil to avoid besetting sin. The ability to say no. No human being can say no to temptation on your own. None of us has the power. But when you have received that Holy Ghost, amen. I am speaking not as reading from one book. I am a living testimony. I know what I was before I received the Holy Ghost. And I know what I am now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need the extra oil. Why do you need the extra oil? Because we're in the midst of gross darkness. Gross darkness. Praise the Lord. Gross darkness. And you need your lamp to be very, very bright so that that darkness will not cover it. Why do we need extra oil? Because the journey is long and rough. And the journey is long and rough so that the oil you have may not be enough for this journey. And secondly, along the way, there are adulterated oil along the way. The filling stations that we have now for oil, they are adulterated oil. They are oil that are mixed with kerosene. Mixed with another Hallelujah. It will not do. That journey you will not make it. Pastor Thomas one time traveled, like I said one time, he said, he traveled to the east with his jeep, brand new jeep. He was coming and then he decided to buy along Benin Expressway. He brought a fuel station there to buy fuel. They moved a few kilometers and the car packed. When they got the mechanic, they found out that the fuel they bought was adulterated fuel. They had to spend all the time again, brought down the tank, emptied the tank, flushed the whole place. It was just God that saved him. Only God knows what would have happened to that engine. And that is the story of salvation for you. And therefore, you need the extra oil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can't you see that when Eliezer was to go and get a wife for Isaac, the journey was very long. Did he go with cow? Did he go with horse? Did he go with donkey? What did he go with? What did he go with? You don't know why he chose camel? It is a wilderness journey. It is a desert journey. And the reason why they use camel is because the camel has extra tank on top. Oh, glory be to God. Eliezer needed extra water. That's why. He didn't take only one. He took ten camels to bring one woman. 10 camels to bring one woman. All of them had extra tanks because of the journey and the nature of the journey. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of extra work to be done in this age. Trials, temptations, fears on every side. And we cannot understand. But we shall understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. You don't understand why that songwriter wrote it. Father along we know all about it.
Father along
we
all
understand.
Cheer up my brother, living the sunshine.
Oh,
we understand it all by and
sing that first stanza, first stanza again, first stanza.
Tempted and tried, of me to wonder. Why it should be thus all the day long. Why there are others living about us, never molested, so in their home.
Hallelujah. Uncertainties abound everywhere. You go out, you don't even know whether you will come back alive. You go, people get missing every day. Even nature, everything has turned against man. Hurricanes, everything turned against man. Man turned against man. Evil everywhere. Hunger everywhere. The wicked ones are bound everywhere. Spiritual wickedness, physical wickedness. Life has no value anymore. Anymore, anymore, anymore. I see that is not enough to kill your spiritual life. He makes sure he preoccupies you so much with what to eat and what to drink. Your landlord will not let you rest. At work, your boss will not let you rest. People leave their homes in Lagos 4 a.m. I had cause to leave my house very early during the week, I think on Monday or so. As we were going to the island, the whole road was filled up. Hold on. I told my wife, I said, in Lagos, have you observed that most workers in Lagos, their houses, now only bedroom to sleep and bath. That's all. They spent more time in their places, in their offices, in their places of work than at home. They leave their homes at 4 a.m. and come back 11:30. So tired to sleep because they know they will wake up early. And they are gone. What time do they have to pray? What time do they have to read the Bible? What time do they have to their spiritual life? And so, churches have taken advantage of that so that they will not waste the people's time because they believe that it is only on Sundays that the people have time to do anything for themselves. So first service, 1 hour. Second service, 1 hour. Third service, 1 hour. Between 7 o'clock and 2 o'clock, 7 services. So that you don't waste the people's time. So you see, with that, the devil is able to keep the people in such an estate that will be spiritually dead. And so, the spirit of Catholicism comes up. Since you say you are the man of God, be praying for us. And they are giving you money. They are paying tithe and offering to the pastor. Then the pastor is there praying for you while you are chasing money. Anything in the Bible, you don't have time to read. So anything the man talk, you say, not true. That is the estate of the Christian faith. And upon that one again, hey, the small time that you have, even in your office or anywhere else, including the young ones, he brought internet. He brought social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, internet. The small time you have fellowship with God, you are there pinging and then sending nonsense. You spend 2 hours watching this, watch that, send this, and completely your spiritual life is dead. You see why in this age we need the extra oil. We need the extra oil that can withstand this. You need something more than you have now. More than what they had even in the first church age. What we are fighting now is more than what they were fighting in the first church age. It was one spirit. Now the 7 churches, they are now 7-fold. To make sure we are as dead as anything. And watch what is happening now in Christianity. Can't you see that you are dead? That you are coming to church and you are sleeping with a woman that you have not married. You are sleeping with a man that has not married you. And you are speaking in tongues. Can't you see that you are dead? What is the evidence that you are dead? Your conscience does not condemn you anymore. The Bible says your conscience is seared with a hot iron. Nothing anymore. Can't you see that you are holding malice? Can't you see a man says a Christian is beating his wife? A woman says she's a Christian, she's beating her husband. There are some women that beat their husbands. Can't you see you can insult anybody anyhow, you don't feel anything? You steal your master's money, you don't feel anything? It's evidence you are dead. Your oil is drying up. But you know, this same person I'm talking to now, you remember when you received the initial oil, you remember the bubbly, how bubbly you are in the spirit. You remember how many hours you could pray. You remember how your eyes could not look at certain pictures. You remember how certain places you could not go. You remember how certain companies you could not keep. You remember how faithful you were in serving God now. But now, something has happened. You need that extra oil. Something, a power that will make you say, in this age, there are people that will serve this God. Irrespective of the onslaught of the devil against us. Those of us who have children, you know the danger they are exposed to. A child that is 1 year old knows how to operate phone. Know how to go to the internet on your phone, your smartphone. You know it. You know it. Try it now. Give a toy phone to your 1 year old. He will take it and stone you. And ask for the original phone from your hand. Give him. He knows how to go immediately. Straight. To YouTube. To whatever you call it. So you know the danger we face. Your child is in a bedroom with smartphone. You don't know what they are doing with the phone. With another man somewhere with the phone. You see the danger we have? Lead your children to receive this oil as a matter of priority. It's not just about praying for them. It's about leading them to have an anchor. Praise the Lord. That's why we need that extra oil. James chapter 4. Verse 5 and verse 6. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelling in us lusted to envy? Verse 6 is my emphasis. But that same spirit giveth more grace. That more grace is the extra oil. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. More grace. Extra oil is more grace. Luke chapter 12, verse 35, the parable of the expectant servant. That is who we are. All of us here, let your loins be gathered about and your lights burning. And you yourself, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return, oh glory be to God, from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall guide himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if you shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. And verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And this is our attempt to get ourselves ready. All we're doing is equipping ourselves. And one way to do it is humble yourself. Don't be proud and say, I am saved. Don't be proud and say, I'm spiritual, I am this. God will bypass you. Praise the Lord. There's another group of people that is among us here, where Apostle Paul says, quench not the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. He says, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. And many things can make the spirit to be quenched. Like I said, possessing sin can make the spirit to be quenched. The company you keep can make the spirit to be quenched. And above all, one thing that the devil uses more to quench the spirit is frustration. And he's using it very, very effectively. Frustration. You are due to marry, no husband, no wife, no money. Your children are there. You cannot pay their school fees. They are withdrawn from school. You can't pay your house rent. Debts here and here, everywhere. Disturbing you up and down. Frustration is a very terrible weapon the enemy is using against believers. The disciples also faced that one time. And this was what they did. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. 30 and 31. Acts chapter 4. They were killing them. They were beating them up and down. And they were all getting restless. Frustration everywhere. The Pharisees will not let them rest. They gathered, they scattered them. Put them for prison. Gather here. Frustration was too much. The spirit was about to quench. They decided to gather. Verse 29. And now, this was the prayer they began to pray. And now, Lord, he was reporting the situation. Behold their threatenings. They are threatening us up and down. Your own threatening may be another form of frustration at the other. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30 and 31. By doing what? By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. See how they got recharged. And when they had prayed, what happened? The place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Anybody here, your spirit is quenched. The Holy Ghost in you is quenched. We have come to recharge. I say we have come to recharge. I say somebody here, there will be earthquake in your spiritual life. And there shall be a restoration again. In whatever form, in whatever way you were on fire before, when you leave here, you will receive double fire. Extra oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But always remember that the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey Him. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey, and the Holy Ghost is given to them that ask. Asking here is prayer. It's you that know how to pray for what you are looking for. There are some people that this fasting that we put, it was punishment for them. Whereas some, they were looking forward to that period of that fasting period, 21 days, without grudge. They're enjoying it. And to tell you that God backs it up, so many of you that have never fasted before. In fact, my driver told me he has never fasted up to 6 before. From morning to 6 p.m. But he said he found himself doing it, and he was surprised he was able to do it. In this program, there are 3 categories of people to receive the Holy Ghost. 1, those who have never received the Holy Ghost since they gave their life to Christ. And 2, those who received the Holy Ghost, but something happened. The grace is down. They need to recharge. The third group are those who had an experience, but they are not sure whether it's the Holy Ghost or not, and they want God to confirm it. These 3 groups of people be in expectation. Hallelujah. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I need the extra oil. Say it for God to hear you again. Say, Moses Alu, I need the extra oil. Say it very loud. Say it very loud. If you need the Holy Ghost, say it again very loud. Nobody is too young to have it. Nobody is too old to have it. And you that say, I know I'm a sinner, I'm a drunkard, I'm a fornicator, you are the one that need it the most. And before you ask, he's more anxious to give you than you know. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me hear something. If at any stage of your Christian life you have ever received an experience that you believe is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, shout hallelujah. Okay. Wave your hand if you fall within that category. You have received the Holy Ghost. Put down your hand. That's evidence you have received. Once you have received the Holy Ghost, there is a test that causes you want more of him, more of him, more of him, more, 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 more. The sweetest thing that can happen to you is to be in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. That spirit that wakes you when it is time for you to pray. Hallelujah. It will wake you. That spirit that will communicate with you through that vision, through that voice, through that dream. You never miss it. Amen. And above all, you need that power and that overflowing power. Overflowing power that comes upon you, that anything you touch is sanctified. Anything you touch, sanctified. Praise the Lord. I have confirmed that the Holy Ghost is real. Without controversy. And once you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you must have a gift. No member, man or woman, is redundant. The problem with you is to discover your gift. And many of us here are gifted, but we have neglected the gift. We are not to neglect the gift that is in you. When you neglect it, it becomes dormant, and you are the one that will suffer. Because every gift you have, you benefit also from it. Praise the Lord. Everybody around you benefits from it. Your family benefits from it. When you have faith, your family benefits from it. When you don't have faith, everybody around you suffer, including yourself. Don't you want an anointing so much that if you walk up, pass anywhere and they bury anything there, that thing will be destroyed without you knowing, because you pass there? You hang your cloth for cloth line for the compound, and which they come, it will change direction. Wouldn't you want that type of grace? That is the extra grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you want the grace that you are so connected to heaven until, Lord, Lord, I want to know why this is like this. I want to know, Lord, let me know, should I go or should I not go? And then you pray and you sleep, sham, and he will just come to you in a dream and answer you. Would you like that type of relationship? Would you like that type of relationship? Would you like the type of relationship where once you open the Bible, as you read, you just understand it, you just understand, you just understand, you just understand like that? Would you like that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Want to have an anointing so much, so much around you, that the enemy will look, throw away this one, he no succeed. Throw away this one, he no succeed. Throw away this one, he no succeed. Extra oil is the oil you have. Hallelujah. That everybody that knows you will see that there is something on you. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be overflowing, overflowing. It's an overflowing grace. Overflowing grace. I have confirmed it. Church, I have confirmed it. Hallelujah. If you are sick here now, I carry my agbada, wipe your face, the sickness will go. Is it possible? Why are you doubting? The shadow of Peter. Shadow. Ordinary shadow. What are you saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you like an anointing that your child is having temperature? You give him paracetamol, the thing no go. Sleep for night, he no gree sleep. And you say, what is happening? And you lay hand. And the baby just cool. Just sleep. That's the power God is going to release on us here. Eh, brother, would you like the type of anointing that you are not at home? You are not even at the home. Eh? Elijah had that type of anointing. That you are not at home and your wife is sick. She decides to just go and lie down on your bed so that she can be healed. Overflowing anointing. You can have it. Eh? My wife was in pain. She wanted me to pray for her. I had no time. I mean, I was busy. I was studying on my bedroom in my reading table. And she came in and I was trying to finish something. She had been calling my attention. I said, I'm coming. She couldn't bear the pain. Then she proposed in her heart, if I go and lie down on his bed, I know I will be healed. And she went and laid down on the bed and sleep. Caught her. Just about 10 minutes, she woke up. He said, hey, I know, sure you're not going to pray for me. I'm healed now. And I told her what happened, and she told me. Would you want to have that type of anointing for your family? For your family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some time ago, I told you this, some of you who are members of this church. I say, my wife was sick with headache. Terrible headache, according to her. She couldn't sleep. I was sleeping by her side, and she couldn't help but to wake me. She was in pain, and I was in deep sleep. That she can't sleep, headache. I said, I took my hand with sleepy eyes and placed it on her head. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. And suddenly I got caught up, and I saw a light proceeding from my hand into her head. And I noticed she went up. I opened my hand and looked at her. She took off sleep. I waited in the morning and I asked her, what happened when I laid my hand on you? She said something caused she slept off. And she woke up, it was gone. Now, then I now knew why the Bible says, believers shall lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. It's not only my hand, it's your hand too. Hallelujah. Your hand is no ordinary hand. As long as that hand is not carrying a bottle of beer. Eh? As long as those hands are clean. Hey, glory be to God.